very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, September the 13th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this evening. From Washington, I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, the Mashingo Council is caught between a rock and a hard place as they fail to deliver fresh, clean water. The local authority has been clashing with residents over water disconnections.
It goes back to the residents of Mashingo who are already suffering, and which is actually giving us much of a headache to say, are we subsidizing or are we assisting the city council to provide a service to the military, the police, or people such like?
Plans to hold a prayer meeting in Mutare this weekend, marking 6 months since the abduction of activist Itai Dzamara, are put on hold until further notice, but religious leaders say they are still hopeful of his return.
We believe that despite the fact that so much time has gone by, we're still trusting in the God of heaven, the God that we serve, being the omnipotent God. We trust that one day Itai Dzamara will come back.
Relatives of some Zimbabweans who perished in an unused mine in Springfield, Benoni in South Africa, are still trying to repatriate their bodies home due to lack of adequate documentation. A Zimbabwean based in South Africa visited the scene and is appealing to the Zimbabwean embassy to assist.
The result that I did, that they were facing challenges in using the bodies of their relatives that were in the mortuary being retrieved and repatriated to Zimbabwe. That's the reason why I went there to assist.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. The Mashingo Council is caught between a rock and a hard place as they fail to deliver fresh, clean water, amongst other services expected of them, in the face of mounting financial problems. The local authority has been clashing with residents over water disconnections. Residents accuse the council of frustrating them for debts they say are too small, considering that government departments and military institutions owe the council over $20 million. But the council is not turning off their water or going after that debt. Gandri Maramba reports on the water issues facing the ordinary people of Mashingo.
42-year-old Ben Kandemiri of Mashingo's East View low density suburbs wakes up at 4 a.m. every day to fetch water from a house some 500 meters away from him. A good Samaritan with a borehole has been helping residents for a long time now as the local authorities fail to deliver clean, fresh water to the residents. This has been Kandemiri's routine for the past 2 months since the local authority turned off water for residents who cannot pay their bills. Many are in this situation. Sadly, he owes the local authority just $22, a paltry amount to some, but to him it's a lot. Just next door to Yesebab is the Zimbabwe National Army's Mashingo 4 Brigade headquarters, which owes city council about $11 million. The soldiers' water supply have not been cut. In total, government departments, including the police, owe the Mashingo city council $20 million. This has not gone down well with residents who have challenged the local authorities to also disconnect supplies to the security forces and government departments before coming to them. Kandemiri says his council is not treating residents fairly.
It is actually a very sorry and sad situation, especially on the part of the residents. You remember how residents have been pushed off the streets, vendors are off the streets, and as we currently speak, most of the people that are in Mashingo are facing job cuts as an industry is melting down. And it is also a sad fact that we know of some institutions that are actually not paying these bills. But when struggling citizens of Mashingo are forced to pay or are having their water cut for as little as $15, $20 or $50, but we know of institutions that have gone for years without paying these rates, and it goes back to the residents of Mashingo who are already suffering, and which is actually giving us much of a headache to say, are we subsidizing or are we assisting the city council to provide a service to the military, the police, or people such like?
Mashingo United Residents and Ratepayers Association Mura coordinator Anoswam Good says his organization has been trying to engage the city council over the water issue with little success.
Yes, it's true. That has been going on for quite a long time now. We have tried to engage the local authorities to stop disconnecting residents over insignificant figures. But they are keeping on doing that, of which to us it's very unfair, because they should start by disconnecting government departments which are owing the city close to $20 million.
He said residents are planning to take to the streets over the water issue, arguing that water is a basic human right. A social commentator, Mr. Tatenda Hongwe, thinks the council is scared stiff of the security arms of the state. That's why it's not turning off their supplies.
We wonder why the city council is only doing that to residents when there are other defaulting government parastatals like the police, the army, CSC, NRZ, among others. I think it shows that the council is afraid of facing these government parastatals for fear, and we urge the council to treat all the residents equally, whether they are those in the high density suburbs or those who are defaulting in government departments in camps.
Masingo City Mayor was unavailable for comment. He, however, is on the record of telling the media that the City Council was afraid of going into military camps to turn off their supplies due to intimidation from some armed forces as well as some senior government officials. Residents, however, maintain that with the tough economic climate, they also deserve a bit of respite. Reporting for Studio 7 in Masingo, I am Country Maramba.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Plans to hold a prayer meeting in Mutare this weekend, marking 6 months since the abduction of activist Itai Dzamara, are put on hold until further notice. But Bishop Anselimo Magaya, the organizer of the prayer meeting, tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri they are still hopeful of his return.
Upon our constant reviews of our scheduled meetings, we felt that it was prudent for us to actually push further the prayer meeting that was supposed to be held in Mutare. You know, we are based in Harare, and this process and this work involves quite a bit in terms of resources and expending of energy. And so we feel that it's going to be more effective if we are having to be more prepared logistically. So we have thus postponed the peace prayer rally.
Do you have any tentative dates?
Yes, of course. Next week we'll have a meeting on the 17th of September that will determine which exact date this could be. But for now, we have just canceled tentatively the 10th of October, because other weekends are quite committed to other activities.
We see that this weekend we mark 6 months of the disappearance of Mr. Dzamara. Do you still have hope that he will one day walk back alive?
Yes, we have had instances in the Word of God that people that had been victimized, thrown into some dungeon, lived beyond people's expectations. So despite the fact that 6 months have lapsed, we have been praying that God will put fear in the lives of these abductors. And we believe that despite the fact that so much time has gone by, we're still trusting in the God of heaven, the God that we serve, being the omnipotent God. We trust that one day Itai Dzamara will come back to reunite with his family, but also colleagues and fellow Zimbabweans.
That was Bishop Anselimo Magaya speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave and AM frequency. Relatives of some Zimbabweans who perished in an unused mine in Springfield, Benoni in South Africa are still trying to repatriate their bodies home due to lack of adequate documentation. Blessing Vava, a Zimbabwean based in South Africa, visited the scene and is appealing to the Zimbabwean embassy to assist. Vava spoke to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri on the issue.
It was a very sad incident when we heard that our fellow countrymen
we had carried in a diseased mind. So when we got the news, within West time, the following morning, we got the news in the evening of the previous day, and the following morning, we made sure that we went there to assess what had transpired. And unfortunately, we discovered that four Zimbabweans have been accounted for, and four of them were in some mortuary in Springfield, the area that where the deceased mines are. It is said that there was some people who were burning some copper underground, and the smoke from that burning of the copper, it resulted in those who were going underground inhaling that air, and in the process suffocating, and they perished as a result. Their relatives managed to retrieve the bodies from underground, but when the police came, it barred anyone to go underground. But the bodies that were retrieved were taken to some mortuaries in that area, and we managed to see those bodies.
We understand that there were problems in relatives trying to claim the bodies of their beloved ones because of the paperwork. May you clarify on that?
The challenge that the shell was that most of these guys who are doing these illegal mining activities, they do not have proper identification documents because they are illegal immigrants. And as a result, they don't even have passports in their possession or any form of identification. So it resulted in that the bodies that were there in the mortuary, they could not retrieve those bodies because the procedures of the mortuary is that we have to have some form of identification of the deceased, which was one of the greatest problems that the family had. And therefore, they were appealing to the Zimbabwean embassy in South Africa to make sure that they manage to retrieve those bodies, and also the government to see in having those bodies repatriated from South Africa to Zimbabwe for proper burial.
What made you rush to the scene of accident?
Well, basically, I got the news in the evening that there were Zimbabweans that had perished in those mines. And initially, I heard that the number was about 50. So I was curious. And as a Zimbabwean, when I heard that a fellow countryman had experienced such an accident, I was very keen to go and see what really transpired. And also as a result that I heard that they were facing challenges in using the bodies of their relatives that were in the mortuary being retrieved and repatriated to Zimbabwe. That's the reason why I went there to assess what it really concerned.
That was Blessing Vava, a Zimbabwean who went to visit the mine after the tragedy in South Africa, speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kanzemiri. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues today. I'm gladly joined by creator of the media platform 263 Chat, Nigel Mugamu, who is currently here in the U.S. on the International Visitor Leadership Program sponsored by the State Department. Nigel, of course, created 263 Chat as a hashtag on Twitter, which has now grown to be a whole media house. Nigel, tell me more about the program that you're doing here in the U.S.
No, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me. The program is really like an international visitor leadership program. So, and we're doing focus on social media.
Tell us more about what you're doing on the ground in Zimbabwe with 263 Chat.
What started off just as a Twitter handle and a hashtag has soon evolved into a media organization. We host events and where we try to get, policymakers and various organizations from civic society and the private sector. Sometimes we even get government officials just into a room with ordinary Zimbabweans just so we could sort of, discuss and talk about what's happening and exchange ideas. I think some of these events are great opportunities for people to share what they think with our leaders. And then, of course, now we publish every day, so I've got a team of journalists in different parts of the country, and we're trying to publish every day. So we've got daily content on the site, 263chat.com. We obviously use social media, which is the backbone of what we do. We're trying to get people to engage and talk, and because people already have these conversations, and I've said this for years, we already have these conversations at home, in church, taxis on the way home, and so forth. And I think, if we can use the power of the internet to discuss and share and even crowdsource and even crowdfund.
Last time we spoke, you spoke about branching out to, I guess, the other grassroots level. I think social media has its own particular grassroots. But the general grassroots of, you know, young people in rural areas, young people in areas where they might not be apt to be, on the internet or even on social media, how has that been going for you?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. So, I always say sometimes your targeted audience or the final destination, for example, you know, it'll take a while to get to. And the rural population for us is a very critical element of where we're trying to go. We're obviously not there yet. There's some things that are obviously beyond our control. We need, the cost of devices to come down. We need the cost of getting online to come down. We need people to have the digital skills to actually use a smartphone. I mean, you know, you and I know lots of people with smartphones, and we don't utilize the actual smartphone, you know, to its full capacity. We're using WhatsApp. I think, and I always say this, WhatsApp is a very powerful tool if used correctly where I'm from. And I think that we started off with WhatsApp. We're looking into creating and sharing our news articles and so forth using SMS. I think SMS is a powerful tool that most people obviously with a cell phone would be able to send a message somewhere. You know, there's some logistics we need to figure out. How do we get people to respond without them bearing the cost of that? How do we share information with them? You know, how do we actually do that? The rural population is definitely the destination. That's definitely where we're trying to go. 67% of the population in Zim live in the rural areas. So that's a critical component of the Zimbabwean population.
Generally, how receptive have people been to your evolving as a company?
Well, I mean, look, it's, you know, good and bad. So sometimes, initially when I first started this thing, he must be, politically connected, he must be, I've been called all sorts of things. And the thing that at the end of the day that I must always stress is I'm Zimbabwean first. You know, I love my country. I love my continent. And that's really why, you know, it's 263 chat. So it's not like MDC chat, you know, or ZANU chat. It's 263 chat. And that's really where our focus is, where my focus is also. Our numbers continue to grow. Just look at Twitter and Facebook and, you know, our various engagement. We're growing. Some of our weekly reach, just using our Twitter account, is on average about 5 million a week. You know, the handle, the hashtag is on average doing, you know, a reach of 50 million a week. So, you know, we're seeing growth. Going forward, we're obviously trying to grow, essentially influence the narrative on Zimbabwe and, you know, help shift it a little bit.
Nigel, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me.
That was Nigel Mugamu, creator of 263 Chat, and currently here in the U.S. on an International Visitor Leadership Program. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and as usual, make sure you join me next week.
This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. End of our Sunday evening bulletin, the music of Baba Makaniki Manyeruke, Mwarimu Wakanaka. Now to recap on today's top stories. The Mashingo Council is caught between a rock and a hard place as they fail to deliver fresh, clean water, and plans to hold a prayer meeting in Mutare this weekend, marking 6 months since the abduction of activist Itai Dzamara, are put on hold until further notice. But religious leaders say they are still hopeful of his return. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, September the 13th, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye, in Washington. Wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.